Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the pitch coming. Swinging a ball hit to left, tailing toward the line. Pham with a good jump and a backhanded try. It goes off of his glove. He got there, making a good play. The throw to second. Lux is safe. Hayes is in, and Cincinnati leads 2-1. And the hollow sound rolled up first. And Solak running hard all the way, narrowly thrown out. Pirates fall 7-1.
It keeps getting worse. I'm almost out of words here, and yet my job is to say words and lots of them and sometimes to write them. I'm at Bowser Chevy, Studio B in Monroeville. Happy to be here. Wonderful place. Limits back in the home office, and I'm just what they're doing is almost commendable. It is remarkable. I have a couple of suggestions for Bob Nutting, let's just say I have a couple of suggestions for what he can do with his baseball team. First, I want to quantify this limits. Well, really, first, I want to inquire as to your well-being. Everything okay back in the home office?
Everything well? Is going well here in the home office, Joe. Yes, it is good to talk to you today.
Somebody over at the Pirates said to me earlier this season, not long ago, I keep thinking, it can't get any worse than this, and then the next day comes. Greg Brown just said on Sunday at the end of that game, with Paul Skene staring blankly at the field after his teammates let him down again, that this is rock bottom for the Pirate offense. Was it, Greg? Was it rock bottom for the Pirates, period? Because it looked like last night was pretty good, too, or could qualify for that. The Pirates are now... so far under 500, it's almost incalculable. Their winning percentage is .313 limits. Seems like an innocent little number, doesn't it? Little .313. Well, let me tell you about .313. So let's put this in perspective before we move along. The 7-1 loss to Terry Francona's Cincinnati Reds, yes, leaves the Pirates at .313. The last, and believe me, I think as we all know, I don't need to tell you this, that could hold or get worse. Like, this is still a relatively small sample size, although we're all almost a third of the way into the season. As I just said, every time we think it can't get worse on and off the field, it does. The Pirates outdo themselves. So anybody who doesn't think that a .313 winning percentage could hold or get worse, you're out of your minds. Of course, nobody listening believes that. We all know this could get worse. But even at .313, if this were to hold, the last time the Steelers had a winning percentage under .313 was Chuck Knoll's first team in 1969. The last time the Penguins had a winning percentage under .313 was 1983-84, when the coach of the team was literally throwing games so that they'd be positioned to draft Mario Lemieux. And the last Pirate team with a winning percentage below .313 was 1952, Dick Groat's rookie year. Joe Garagiola was on the team, for God's sakes. And before that, you have to go back to 1890 to find one. I mean, this is truly remarkable. Think about that for a second. The 83-84 Penguins, the X-generation Penguins had significantly higher winning percentages than this outfit. They were up in the .350s. Ramsey Abid and Chris, what was his name? Chris Beach, Ross Lupuschuk, Michael Civic, and not the one on All in the Family. That team was significantly better than this. And all those teams were at the beginnings of rebuilds. Some of them, at least one of them, intentionally losing. Chuck Knoll was throwing people off his team so that he could rebuild and start over. They went 1-13. Lou Angotti was the coach of the 83-84 Penguins. He, years later, told me, and we all knew that those Penguins were tanking at an organizational level, sending good players to the minors and recalling bad players. But it goes to another level when the coach says to you, and this is a quote from the now late Lou Angotti, who, by the way, should always be remembered as a Penguins hero, because the Penguins don't exist, very likely, if it wasn't for him trying to lose games behind the bench. He said to me years later, and I quote, "I can honestly say the players who came to work every day gave all they had. That was the tough part. I was playing against them." That's the coach of a team, and that's, unless somebody can prove me wrong, that's the only time a coach in the history of North American sports has admitted that on the record. "I was playing against them," Lou Angotti said. "It was me against them, them against me," his own players. And he finished by telling me on the record, "They were trying to go out and win, and I was using them to lose." That is the last Penguin team that had a lower winning percentage than this pathetic outfit called the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, I feel like we should all just meditate on that for 5 minutes, but we'd go off the air, wouldn't we, Limits?
We sure would. Moment of silence for the Buccos.
How long before we go off the air on silence? How long before it goes to something else?
About 10 plus seconds.
I mean, think about it. It's breathtaking. It really is. These Pirates are supposed to be at the end of a rebuild. They're designed to win. Didn't Shelty tell Gormley the Owl it's winning time? Oh, my God. What have we done? What have you done, Bob Nutting? What have you done, Ben Cherington? What have you done to this baseball franchise? It really is remarkable. So every day we have a new twist on the topic. And by the way, Off the Top brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. And I'd love for you to weigh in at 412-928-9370. Again, I'm at Bowser Chevy out here in Monroeville, Studio B. Two things that need to happen today. One of them is very insignificant compared to the other. It's actually three things when you get right down to it. Tommy Pham needs to be DFA'd. At least pretend that somebody or something is accountable other than the scapegoat manager. Not that Derek Shelton didn't deserve to be fired. He did, but this looks like a scapegoat job. Pretty clear and simple. At least pretend that there's some accountability elsewhere. Why is Tommy Pham still here? He can't catch a fly ball or hit, which he's proven when he's not making an obscene gesture to fans. What are you doing, Bob Nutting? Call down to somebody. Call somebody to your office and say, get rid of that guy. What are you doing? This is like when Art II sat up there and watched George Pickens running around in a nationally televised game with the F word on his face for one of the flagship franchises in the NFL. He's going to sit there and watch that, Art? Or are you going to call down and tell somebody to tell that guy to get that off his face on national television? This is worse, way worse, because it's the Pirates, number one. Tommy Pham is a signal of everything that's wrong with how Bob Nutting runs this franchise. He's a joke of a free agent signing for a little pittance of $4 million, which is a quarter to me or you. When I was looking up all this stuff today, I came across the X Generation Penguins because I was asked in the mailbag, hey, you know, at least the Penguins tried to build around Sid right away. And yeah, it was a salary cap league and there were some differences, but the Pirates hit, or I mean, the Penguins hit on first round picks before and after Sid. That was one. Two, they did bring in people right away, comparing his situation to Skeens's, right away to try to help him specifically and the team generally. And the first guy was Ziggy Palfy. Now, he just fled in the middle of the season, which is maybe what Skeens should do. Just go to Slovakia tomorrow. But the point was that Ziggy Palfy, in 2005 NHL dollars, signed as a free agent by the Penguins for 3 years and $13.5 million. That's more, way more than anything the Pirates in MLB dollars in 2024-5 did in their offseason to build around Skeens. My God, the Penguins in 2005 committed more money to a player to help their star than the Pirates did in this offseason. The crown jewel of their free agent signings was Tommy freaking Fail. And now we got to watch this guy drop fly balls in the outfield again. DFA him today. And while you're at it, DFA Adam Frazier, who can't lay down a bunt. Have some accountability around here. At least pretend. At least pretend. 412-928-9370. But that's not even the most important thing that should happen today. And I realize nothing matters anymore in life, in the world, and with the Pirates. Nothing matters. Nothing's going to change until the owner changes, and he ain't changing. However, in the meantime, again, there has to be some level of accountability beyond the manager. And now we know, 10 games into the Don Kelly era, yeah, it wasn't the manager. We all knew that anyway. And the manager needed to be fired, but it wasn't the manager. And when Bob Nutting sat down with Jason Mackey, what was it, a week ago? Whenever they fired, 10 days ago, I guess, they fired Shelton. He asked point blank, why didn't you fire Cherington and Travis Williams too? And the rationale on Bob Nutting's part was, well, and I quote, it's a little early to make the change in a season. I believe we can still make a real impact in 2025. Well, that's done. That was a pipe dream anyway, but that's done now. They're 3-7, minus 11 run differential under Kelly. It wasn't the manager. So if that was your rationale for keeping Ben Cherington to save this season, hey, we can still salvage this. This new manager will provide a spark. That's done. That's gone. The season's over. Do not let Ben Cherington run this draft. You can't. He's incompetent. Fire him today. Send him out the door with Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier. Bob Nutting told Mackey, I'm not willing to give up on what we expected. I believe we have significantly better performance. I don't think blowing everything up 38 games into the year is going to help us do that. Okay, now we're 10 games later and nothing's changed. Same winning percentage. Worse, actually. 3 out of 10 is what they've won. Not happening. Did nothing. Might be even worse. Fire the general manager. Do something. Anything to show people that there's some accountability beyond Derek Shelton. Admit you made a mistake. Come out and say, listen, you know, I thought maybe this would provide that kind of spark immediately, and we needed one immediately. The season needed to be saved. We were already teetering, but nothing's changed. I can see that, and it's time for the GM to go. This man cannot and will not be permitted to run another draft. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but it's okay to admit you screwed up 10 days ago and fire the GM. that just flat out needs to happen. The lineup again last night was an absolute disgrace and an unbelievable indictment of Ben Cherington in year six. And I don't give a crap who's injured, who's not, whatever. Key Brian Hayes, who you signed to a $70 million deal, was your leadoff hitter. He has a .294 on-base percentage. That's your leadoff guy. That was a bad contract. Andrew McCutchen, who I believe is now below 200 in May, with one extra base hit, is your number two hitter. You keep bringing him back. He's actually been pretty good, like on a real team. He could be, you know, a DH and hit seventh or eighth for sure. But he's a guy that I feel like you brought back this year as sort of a look over here, don't look over there, you know, Wizard of Oz type thing. We're bringing back beloved Andrew McCutchen. But as far as actually helping Paul Skenes, our big move was Spencer Horwitz and Tommy Pham. Your three-hitter, Brian Reynolds, is one of the worst players in baseball this season. Although I get it, you know, it's not like every year he seems to produce numbers, oftentimes too late, but he does. But he's your three-hitter right now in the midst of this. Joey Bart, who actually has decent counting numbers but only one home run, is your cleanup hitter. Was there a team in baseball last night whose cleanup hitter has one home run? Canario looks like Willie Mays in this lineup, although he's batting .230.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's been okay lately. Nick Solak? Is that his name, Limits?
That's his name. Yeah, he was hitting .390 in the minors. Congrats to him.
Yeah, so was I. He's 30 years old. He has a great story, by the way. But that's not what this is about. He's hitting .100. Tommy Pham, we've talked about. Kiner Falefa has been a mediocre hitter his entire career. He's probably outperforming that. So why is he batting eighth, you might ask? And then Triolo, who has, you know, a gold glove, but something less than that with the bat, is hitting .145. And then the great Horwitz at .143 comes in as a pinch hitter. He pinch hit for a guy. He pinch hit, and his average is less than the guy who's hitting .145. They didn't use Adam Frazier. I guess they didn't need somebody to sacrifice bunt to the pitcher again. It's just a disgrace. And Bob Nutting needs to come out and say, I thought we'd get an immediate spark from the manager. That's why I kept the GM. We didn't. The season is basically, it's time to look ahead. And I cannot let this guy run another draft. By all rights, this day should not end with Tommy Pham, Adam Frazier, and especially, and far and above those two, Ben Cherington still with the Pirates. By the way, when you combine Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier, Limits, you have Tommy Frazier, one of Mulsey's all-time favorite quarterbacks.
Oh, very nice. Do you think that he'll be able to come in and hit .280?
Listen, somebody asked me again in the mailbag today if Skenes could hit. How old is Tommy Frazier? I promise you, with the kind of athlete he was, he could come in and out-hit Jared Triolo. Like, what we're asking, Tommy Frazier, he's 50. He lives in Bradenton. If he trained for a couple weeks, I mean, he could hit .100, couldn't he? Couldn't he get one hit? Did he play baseball in his career?
If they brought Barry Bonds back for, let's say, 2 weeks, signed into like a 2-week contract, like an NBA 10-day deal, would he perform better than half of this lineup?
I mean, the question would be, how old is Barry Bonds now? Can you look that up? The question would be...
He's 60 now.
Could a 60-year-old Barry Bonds out-hit Jiwon Bae, who was, what, 1-for-11? Absolutely he could. Jack Sawinski, could he hit a homer in 40 at-bats? Sawinski didn't. Could he out-hit Triolo at 145? I honestly believe he could.
I do, too. I think he would do it.
I really do. I think a 60-year-old Barry Bonds could hit 150. You give him a couple weeks to train. How about Tommy Pham? Could he out-hit him at 183 and zero home runs and 115 at-bats? And how unbelievably insulting it was to hear Shelty, first of all, tell us at the beginning of the year through all Pham's struggles, which haven't ended or come close to it, oh, he'll be okay. And then Charrington, as if he wasn't a worry, right? Telling us about this guy's leadership, professionalism, toughness. Wasn't that the thing that Charrington emphasized the last time he spoke to the media was toughness?
Izzy MZ, Peggy Treek.
I'm not going to talk about waxing carrots like Crowley did, but that's the most notable thing this guy has done all season. Talk about a disgrace. So based on what Bob Nutting told Mackey 10 days ago upon the firing of Shelty, it's time to move on from the GM. How he can look at this situation and come to any other conclusion is beyond me. And then again, with the players, how Tommy Pham can be here even one more day is unfathomable. You could say it's unfathomable. Couldn't you, Limits, if you wanted to?
We, our family is getting broken up, Joe. The family is going for a divorce. There will be reunions anytime soon.
It's past time. It really is. What are your thoughts on all this, Limits? And I'd love to discuss it with you out there, 412-928-9370. And yes, I'm aware, nothing's going to change. Nothing matters. As long as Nutting is at the head of the snake, so to speak, here, I get it. But in the meantime, what needs to happen? The first thing that needs to happen is Ben Charrington needs to be fired today. Like right now. Right now. That just needs to happen. He has failed in epic fashion. And while all the problems, including the hiring of Charrington himself, begin with Bob Nutting, that doesn't mean that other GMs haven't won on similar payrolls. Even here, Neil Huntington. Now, he didn't win overall because it's impossible almost to do that. He had a 474 winning percentage here. And he also failed really to draft and develop enough over the years, but he did perform the miracle of getting them to the playoffs three times in a row. And GMs in Tampa have won, and GMs in Oakland and Cleveland have won, and things like that. So Ben Charrington, the idea of letting him run this draft is, it just can't happen. It can't happen. I mean, there's people all over baseball who are preparing constantly for the draft and also preparing in case a GM gets fired somewhere. There are people who are ready to walk in and run a draft. And if you have to hand it over to one of Charrington's lieutenants, even though the scary part is that he hired a lot of these guys, then do that too. It just can't be him. Limits?
I saw a stat that Denny D'Amelio put out there of Pittsburgh Baseball Now that Mitch Keller has a 3.17 ERA in his last eight starts, and the Pirates are 0-7 in his last seven outings.
It's almost worse than the Skeens situation.
I mean, we talk about Mitch Keller as, you know, how good of a pitcher he is. He's been pitching very well for them as of late, and he has gotten absolutely no run support. And, Joe, what's really unfortunate, and you know how much I love baseball, the Derek Shelton move, I think, gave them a little bit of a spark, like a little bit, maybe not an olive branch to the fan base, but it grabbed a lot of people's attention again when they moved off the manager and they put Donnie Kelly into that position, a move that a lot of people wanted.
Yeah,
I feel like Charrington would be a similar one because I'm very concerned, Joe, about just general interest level with the Pirates right now. Like we were talking about that a lot with the Penguins. Where is it with the Pirates now?
How many did they get last night? Did you see the Brett Kiesel little video? Brett Kiesel was at the game last night. Looked like in the upper deck somewhere. Or maybe, you know,
I think
mid-tier.
He was in the suites.
Mid-tier, probably the suites, yes. And just panned across the essentially empty ballpark with a one-word tweet, which, or maybe it was Instagram, I don't know. Shame,
yeah,
is all it said.
10,842 last night.
Yeah, it was the announced attendance.
The announced.
Eight was the actual attendance. I counted them. This is just a travesty, a daily travesty. And Bob Nutting needs to do something right, something, anything. And the right move is to admit he got it wrong 10 days ago, that it wasn't the manager, clearly, since they're 3-7 since then, and it's getting worse with Don Kelly. And yeah, the GM needs to go too, and so does Travis Williams. It's time for all that. Will it change anything? Probably not. Doesn't mean it shouldn't happen.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Limits. I usually don't respond to the comments below my Post-Gazette columns. Today's mailbag was, are the 2025 Pirates the worst team in the history of Pittsburgh sports? Some guy named James comments below this because I got asked in it, what about Skeens hitting? And some people think apparently that that's a ridiculous topic, but I've talked about it before. Both his college coaches from LSU and Air Force said he would have been a first-round pick as a hitter. He was an unbelievable hitter in college. You consider that and then look at this lineup. We're asking about 60-year-old Barry Bonds, who could legitimately hit more home runs than Tommy Pham right now if you gave him a month to ramp up. We're asking about former Nebraska quarterback Tommy Frazier, a combination of Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier, and if he could out-hit both of them, if he trained for a month, and I don't even know if he played baseball, and I say yes to that. Paul Skeens, if you gave him time to ramp up, why wouldn't you give him a chance to be Ohtani? And I'm not saying he would hit as well as Ohtani, obviously. But in terms of being able to pitch once every 5 days and hit a couple times a week, you don't think he could help them? You don't think he could have helped himself? The other day, so this guy, James, I know I'm in the minority, but why do some PG writers continue to fan the fire on stupid suggestions like having Skeens bat? He hasn't hit live hitting since his sophomore year. To which I respond, because he was an excellent hitter in college, he would have been a first-round pick as a catcher, and half the guys in the lineup when he pitches are hitting in the 100s. I should have added idiot, but I didn't do that, Limits, and I don't think I will. Is that a good decision?
Yeah, I think you made the right call.
How are you today? What's going on back there?
Everything's great.
You seem mildly depressed, and I can't even see you because I'm at Studio B out in Monroeville.
Well,
having
Joe,
a wonderful
it's
time.
Because I miss you, and I'm upset about the game that we watched yesterday and a four-game losing streak, and it's hard
Where
to watch
Where did you watch
right
it?
Now.
Were you one of the 12 people at the game?
No, I was sitting on my couch watching it and watching you and I were texting back and forth about Key Brian Hayes' hustle down the line.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Well, at least there's accountability there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but Don Kelly's come in. I like Don Kelly, but I want to see more accountability with him, too. Right? I mean, that's a situation. He's not the only one who doesn't run down the line. It's a couple times now where he hasn't hustled down the first baseline. Then you have Pham doing what he did. Then you have Frazier, and this is worse than that, in my opinion, because Frazier is doing almost nothing else to help the ball club, unable to lay down a bunt. Come on.
I have a couple of guys from Baldwin Wiffle Ball that would like to try out to play in left field for Tommy Pham that make better catches than that I see every Sunday.
Yeah, can they lay down a bunt?
Yes, there's
a major league player.
There's a rule, one bunt per game.
He could have bunted anywhere on the field and done his job. Instead, he bunted right to the pitcher. Now, here's the other thing that I mentioned that sticks in my craw still with Nutting. And in case you missed the opening of the show, when he fired Shelton, the rationale for keeping Charrington around was the season's still salvageable. You know, get a spark here, let's go. All goals are still there. Well, 10 games later, it's the same and worse. Their winning percentage is .300 instead of .313. Clearly, that wasn't the problem, as we all knew. So fire Charrington today. Today. And the other is DFA Pham and Frazier today. But what really sticks in my craw, from Nutting's conversation with Jason Mackey from May 9th, was when he was asked point blank, why do you continue to own this team? And instead of simply saying, because I want to win, or I want to get this back to where we were and well beyond, he started diving into him being the champion of the small market team in the new CBA, which to me, again, is a don't look here, look over there type move. It's a Wizard of Oz. Don't look behind the curtain or here, you know, a magic show. Here, look over here. He didn't say because we're going to win and I want to win. And if he did say it, he qualified it by also saying that I am uniquely well-positioned to have a louder voice for Pittsburgh as we're headed into the next CBA. Come on. Please. And then Mackey says, when you say change, because Nutting said, I have the ability and some standing to advocate for the kind of changes we need. He's talking about the CBA, on which he completely capitulated the last time this came around and signed off right away. But this time he's going to stand up for the small market teams. So Mackey says, when you say change, do you mean a salary cap and floor and revamped revenue sharing? And Nutting says, and I quote, I'm not sure what it means. Let the revolution begin, huh, Limits?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Good start.
So then he says after that, I think it's clear that the giant payroll disparity influences wins and losses. How do you reshape an economic system to move those and create real competitive balance? I think that's the biggest reason why I should be here in Pittsburgh driving forward. That, to me, is unbelievably insulting to hear from him. Why? Because he's never done it before. That's number one. And two, all you're doing is distracting from the fact that you've basically ruined baseball in Pittsburgh. Your simple answer when Mackey says, why do you continue to own the team, should be because I want to win and you're going to see that. It should be a one-line response. Instead, it's essentially, well, because I think we can get back to where we were in 2013 to 15 to rebuild that type of team. Although he doesn't mention, like Skeens, to his credit, did, that if that's your bar, man, that's pretty low to be a wild card team and lose 2 out of those 3 years, 3 out of 3, they won one. That's the bar. But he goes on to say, Nutting does, and in addition to that, and even beyond that, he said the biggest reason why I should be here in Pittsburgh driving forward is basically to try to reshape baseball's economic system. Really? How about just put more money into your team? How about go out and make a signing beyond Tommy Fail, who can't even catch a fly ball? Let's go to the phones, Limits. 412-928-9370.
All right, Joe, let's start with Joe. He wants to talk about the pitching.
Hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. The most frustrating part of the Pirates season for me is the fact that their strength is what is indispensable and what you need to actually win playoff series and eventually get to a World Series. When you have a rotation like Skeens and Keller and Chandler coming up, those guys pitch multiple times in the playoffs. Skeens could pitch 3 times in a 7-game series, and all you have to do is give them a little bit of run support, and they can take down the best lineups and the best teams in the NL. So it's funny that I think the most difficult part of building a team is getting those aces and starting pitching, and that's what the Pirates have, and they can't supplement it or complement it in any way in order to compete. It's just so ironic to me that this is the Pirates.
And I appreciate the call. Two things spring to mind. One is that only the Pirates would finally be incredibly strong at the one position more than any other that's less important than it ever was, and that's starting pitching. Having said that, it's still incredibly important. And the other thing that comes to mind is, yes, I agree with you. They have what everybody wants, potentially, which is elite starting pitching. I think Chandler's going to come up and be very good. You put him with Skeens and Keller, and they seem, the one thing Ben Cherington seems to have a knack for is finding veteran pitchers who are pretty good. And they've got the one thing that so many teams crave and are always looking for, like a franchise quarterback, is potentially elite starting pitching, and can't build around it. And that's why I disagree with the notion that a lot of people have put forth that, you know, it's best just to blow all this up. And by the way, I reject the notion that it's best to trade Skeens. And if I were a Pirate fan, it's the last thing I would want. The first thing I would want is how I started the show. Fire Ben Cherington and get somebody in here who can build around what you already have. And what you already have is so precious and coveted. You have elite starting pitching. Find some bullpen pieces and find a hitter or two. Like, I might be crazy, but if I have elite starting pitching, I think by definition, I'm not that far away. I'm not. Ben Cherington has made it so it seems like that with one of the most ridiculous, ill-conceived, worst rosters and batting orders, lineups that I've ever seen in Major League Baseball. It's a fireable offense on a daily basis, and how he's still here is a miracle and a blight, another one on Bob Nutting's resume. What are you doing? Get rid of this guy today. But I think a new guy could come in here, and if he can find a way to get a couple of hitters and a bullpen piece or two, and that might seem like a lot, it's really not. So you can call me crazy, but I'm not. If I'm a Pirate fan, I have no interest in a blow up and a new 5-year plan and trade Skeens. Like, oh yeah, I'm fine with that because nothing else matters. Hell no. Get a GM in here and build around this guy. And I want to see Skeens and Chandler and Keller and see if a new GM can find at least a little bit to help them. That's what I want. What about you, Limits? You actually are a Pirate fan.
I'm more so concerned right now, Joe, that what they have done, or really what they have failed to do, has set them back another year, maybe even 2 years, to the point where we know we have Paul Skeens for 6 years. In reality, it's more so 4, maybe 5. At that point, you're going to have one realistic year to win with Skeens?
Because are you saying blow it up then? Because if I were you, I'd be saying today get a new GM in here, and his mission is to immediately try to help this team by whatever means possible. Because starting, I don't know, next week, if I want, I've got Skeens, Keller, and Bubba Chandler at the top of my rotation.
I would be completely fine if they just cleared house right now and said, all right, new general manager, the main goal has to be add pieces regardless of what it takes with trading away pitching prospects. Now, I would not deal Bubba Chandler, but everybody else should be fair game on the table, even if Mitch Keller is included in that. I am softening my stance on Keller, also depending on what happens with Barco, but regardless, they need to do everything possible in this next year or two to just add truly 3 bats in key positions. Corner, outfield, shortstop, and somewhere else to improve this lineup. significantly. And
well, don't worry, Limits, because Bob Dunning's going to be the champion of small market yes. teams when the CBA comes up a year from now. How could he even say that to Mackey?
And
expect that people would buy it.
And because there was no action a couple of years ago at the last CBA. There was not a peep that he was interested in a potential salary cap, salary floor, and that it was something that he was fighting for. He was Brian Kelly pounding the table for. Not at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, the team stinks. The GM I hired stinks. We're one of the worst teams in Pirate history. But guess what, everybody? I'm going to be front and center with a big old sign outside the MLB, you know, commissioner's office a year from now, leading a protest for small market teams. I mean, come on.
I'll be the one standing outside leading the press conference, fighting against the Players Association, championing for Pittsburgh baseball to be back, and fighting for Cincinnati. I'm fighting for you like he's campaigning, like he's ultimately the guy that everyone wants to get their support behind.
Nobody wants to hear that. People do care about that, but they realize that he's not going to be the guy to do it. When you're asked, why do you own the Pittsburgh Pirates, it should really be a two-word answer: to win. Then Mackey could have come back, well, you're not winning. I've failed. I'm going to see to it that it gets fixed. And anything else is just a distraction. Next.
Here is John in Washington.
Hello, John.
John?
You there?
John?
Hey, I'm 90 years old. I listen to you every day. It's all about attitude with these cards.
It's all about what, sir?
It's attitude.
Attitude. What do you mean?
Attitude.
As far as the players go?
They have no attitude. The players have no attitude. They need to be pushed. The players don't play right. They're not playing at their potential.
Well, part of me does agree with that, and I appreciate your opinion for sure. And that's why I want accountability when things happen, like Adam Frazier bunting back to the pitcher when he could have bunted anywhere else on the field. And that's why with Tommy Pham, who can't catch a fly ball or hit, other than that, he's been great, Limits. Needs to be gone today. And when somebody like Key Brian Hayes doesn't run down the line, all of that stuff. Yeah, I thought that might change a little bit. Apparently it hasn't. Next.
All right, here is Matt in Mars.
Hey, Matt. But we also know that that's not the main problem. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm just jumping off. I don't know if you talked about it yet, but the thing that stands out to me about Nutting is he doesn't have a position to be a champion of small market teams when every external source is reporting that he is the most profitable small market team. So it's not even like he's spent all of his resources and he's sitting there saying, guys, I'm doing everything I can and I still can't win. He's not doing everything he can, and it's clear to anyone outside of Pittsburgh that that's the case.
I missed the first part of what you said. What was your main point there?
The main point is he's every external source you look at says that Nutting is the most profitable small market team. So he has no ground to stand on when he goes to the MLB and says, guys, small market teams can't win. Look at us. Because by all accounts, he's walking away with, I don't know, $30 million, $60 million, maybe even more in profit every year.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing I say to that, and I appreciate the call. Dejan Kovacevic had the story recently that the Pirates lost money last year, to which I say, if things are bad financially, then why doesn't Bob Nutting do something about that? Like, why wouldn't he sell the team? We'll know by his actions with the whole CBA thing and basically what he does with the Pirates, whether or not things are going well for him. In other words, if things were going really poorly, and they weren't making money, I think we would know by his actions, Limits. And I think we will know moving forward here by what he does with his baseball team and how he is prominent or not prominent in the new CBA negotiations. I don't think a lot of people really pay attention too much to small market owners. I think the bigger market owners carry the clout in Major League Baseball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And it's a tale as old as time, a saying as old as time, that actions speak louder than words. I'm going to be very curious to see what happens moving forward with this. And you're right, because Steinbrenners of the world and the Dodgers group of the world definitely have a lot of pull and a lot of
say. I know one thing he can do today before 11 o'clock, and it's 10:59, is fire the general manager. Because what Bob Nutting said when he fired Shelton, just to wrap up the hour, is I want to save this season. They're 3-7 since then. It wasn't the manager. Might not even be the general manager, but look at that lineup. Look at that lineup. You can't let this man run your draft. All right, the Noah Constrictor up next. Limits. We'll ask him about when we see Bubba Chandler and various other topics regarding the Pirates. Then we get into some Aaron Rodgers talk. I think he might be married. Am I right about that?
It sure appears that way. He's got a ring on his finger.
Well, that would be a dead giveaway, wouldn't it?
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.